A good morning. Hold up your hand if we can bring you an outline. Let's dismiss Power Kids while they are being handed out. I hope everyone is enjoying a happy holiday season so far. We're continuing our study of fear, and I think it is particularly appropriate to talk about fear during the Christmas season. Because if you will read the accounts of the birth of Jesus in the Gospels, you will find again and again major characters being told not to fear. In fact, next Sunday my lesson will be titled, A Fearless Christmas. And we will examine how the good news of the birth of Jesus helps us conquer fear. But one of the things that many people enjoy about this season is time with loved ones. And yet for some, there is no time with loved ones to look forward to. And so what for some is the best part of the season is for others the part that brings the most pain. And so today we want to talk about the fear of loneliness. I read a true story some years ago in a magazine about a young woman named Diane. She grew up in a small town in the Midwest, and she got a job with a company that was going to require her to travel. In fact, one of her first assignments was to go to Los Angeles. Well, she had never flown. She had never been to a large city, and she was obviously filled with some anxiety. But they told her not to worry. They said, someone from the company will be there at the gate to pick you up, to take you to the hotel. You just have to get on the plane and get off. So she arrived at LAX Airport in Los Angeles, and she stood at her gate for some time as people began to file away. And soon there was no one left to pick her up, except for one very well-dressed businessman. So she walked up to him and said, excuse me, but are you looking for a lady named Diane? And his eyes got big and a big smile came across his face. And he put his arms out and grabbed her and gave her a big hug and kissed her on the cheek. And then he backed up and said, no. Well, evidently the world is full of people who would like to have someone to hug. There are few phobias more intense than the fear of loneliness. I've never been with anybody who did not really want somebody to be with. Now, I have been with people who have said they don't need anybody, but I didn't believe them then, and I don't believe them now. People were meant to be with others. You have a with need. And it's always hard, especially at this time of year, if your with need is not full. So this morning we're going to turn to God's Word and receive some counsel on what I'm calling wishful thinking. How to learn to have our with need made full. Because you don't go very far in the story of the Bible before you recognize that man has a with need. In the second chapter, God has made all the creatures, all the plants. He's put a man in paradise, and God says, it's not good. That's shocking. God is not talking about something Satan has done to his creation. God is talking about his judgment on his own creative work. It's not good. Now, God isn't saying I did a bad job. What God was saying is, it's not finished yet. Something's missing in this picture. That's the first thing you learn about loneliness. One finds that loneliness brings a sense of incompleteness. There's something not finished about a person in isolation. It is not good for a man to be alone. We were created by God to need enriching personal relationships. And that shouldn't surprise us, because the Bible says in the first chapter, we were made in the image of God. And God is community. God lives in eternal fellowship within Himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit have always lived in harmony and in communion. And so if we are made in the image of God, it follows it is not good for us to live apart from community. Years ago, Barbara Streisand sang, "People who need people are the luckiest people in the world." Wrong. People who need people are the only people in the world. God's made no other kind. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the Bible says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." We were designed by God to function best in the context of fulfilling fellowship. You know who knows this better than we do? Advertisers. When they look for a way to market their products, they are quick to promise that their product will bring community. Watch the commercials. What are the cell phone commercials selling? Not technology. They're selling fellowship. What are the restaurants selling when you see a table of happy people all together laughing and enjoying each other? They're not selling their food. They're selling fellowship. Watch, if you're a football fan, watch all the beer commercials today. They rarely talk about the beer. What they show you is a big party of lots of people having a good time. That's what they're trying to sell. They're promising, if you'll get our product, you'll get what you really want. Your with need met. Well, I wish I could tell you all you have to do is go buy something and you'll never be lonely again. Doesn't work that way. True fellowship remains an elusive pursuit for many people. And here's the reason. Something happened to God's intention. God made a good world. He designed it for fellowship. He created fellowship for the man. He said, "Here's your wife. Be fruitful, multiply, have family." But then chapter 3, sin entered the picture. And sin immediately in chapter 3 broke relationship to God. And in chapter 4, brother killed brother, and it broke relationship to man. And ever since then, because of sin, we're having trouble relating to God, and we're having trouble relating to each other. And the resultant sense of incompleteness can be so painful, people will try anything to dull it. Some of the worst decisions we made because of an empty with need. And so a young teenage girl sacrifices her virginity and sleeps with some boy because he says, "If you don't, I'll leave you." And she can't bear that thought. Some young man proposes to a girl who doesn't believe, who is not a follower of Jesus, and violates his own value system because he thinks, if she doesn't say yes, maybe nobody will. Or a woman lives year after year with an abusive, violent man. Why? Because the fear of being alone is even greater than the fear of more abuse. or a man finds himself on a business trip at a strip club, or using drugs. Because the power of being accepted finally by a peer group is greater than the power of his own conscience. And some of the worst decisions we've made were made because the power, the need to be with somebody is so strong. And the with need is strong, and it's not wrong. But maybe we've tried to meet it the wrong way. So this morning I hope that we can learn from God's Word some things about dealing with our with need as God would have. But first we need to understand, when I talk about your with need, I'm talking about two different kinds of loneliness. The first is relational loneliness. And we've already seen it's not God's will for us to live in isolation from other people. Yet our culture's worship of technology makes it increasingly possible to do so. This is how culture has changed. When my grandparents were young, they could not survive if they didn't have a community. Today, you can log on to your computer in your bedroom, pay your bills, order your groceries, make your sales, and never have a significant dialogue with a single human being except via a screen. Well, maybe you can function without intimate relationships, but you are not going to reach your full potential as God's creation if you continue to ignore your with need. And I can say that without apology, because I know who the ideal man was. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. He was the model of what God wants every person to be like. And I noticed that Jesus deliberately chose community. He didn't stumble into fellowship. He sought it. He initiated it. He invited people into his life and said, "Stay with me." Now, if that is the model man, how can I reach the potential God has for me choosing to live holed up in some room somewhere staring at a screen? God designed you and me with a with need. And God wants to meet that need. That's one reason why God has authored the family. He gave Adam a wife and He gave Adam children, because it's not good for man to be alone. The Bible says in Psalm 68:6, God sets the lonely in families. I hope this Christmas season you won't take family for granted. There are people in this room that would give anything to have a family to spend Christmas with. And if you do, you need to be grateful to God. But the sad truth is, sometimes families fail or are no longer able to meet your with need. Mates die. Kids grow up and leave. Sometimes people don't keep their promises. And so God, in His wisdom, has given to His children an eternal community that will always be there, even if your earthly family isn't. And that place is called the church. And God describes His church in Ephesians 2:19 with these words: "You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family." We're a family, and we need to take being family seriously. One thing that means for you and me as members of the Richland Hills Church is that we need to practice inclusivity. It's very easy, especially if you've been a member here for some time, to have your circle of friends or your care group or your Bible class or your ministry, and you're with needs getting met, and you are oblivious to the fact that on the pew next to you is somebody whose with need is very empty. That's one reason why every service we ask you to stand up and greet your neighbor. Folks, that's not filler. That's because we couldn't think of enough things to do to fill in the time for the service. I guarantee you, I could preach long enough to use up that time. You know I could. You don't want me to do that, do you? No, we ask you to stand up because maybe today you could be a minister to somebody whose with level is low. Maybe you could include somebody today. And maybe you could take a step today to be included. Some of you are lonely because you won't be proactive to take advantage of what God has provided for you in the family of believers. I know that taking relational risk is scary, but it's better than being alone. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. And so I encourage you, take advantage of family and take advantage of church family. Be an initiator. Be friendly. But you know that you can be lonely even if you're never alone. And one reason is because you have a with need that no person can meet. Because when the Bible talks about loneliness, it mentions not just relational loneliness, but spiritual loneliness. Jesus said a man is made for two things preeminently, to love God and to love people. Now, no matter how many people you have in your life to love, you're incomplete apart from an intimate relationship with God. Your soul was created with an insatiable need for God. And if you try to put anything else in to the vacuum in your heart created for God, you will be one of those people who says, something is missing in my life. And it is. And you can't fill it up with an affair or with a midlife crisis sports car. You were made to commune with God. The Bible says in Psalm 42, as a deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Your soul is thirsty for God, whether you realize it or not. And here's the mistake a lot of us make. Something's missing in our life. A sense that we have a withlessness, not getting met. And we put the pressure to fill it on people who can't do it. I don't care how close you are to your mate, to your kids, to your best friends. They can't meet the with need your soul has for God. And only when you commune regularly for God is your soul going to feel with full. And the great thing about communion with God, that's one relationship that never fails and never ends. I got this neat card from one of our single moms. I asked and got her permission to read what she wrote to you. She said, Rick, I know I'm late in sending this, but I wanted to thank you for the Fear No Evil series. For many years, I suffered from general anxiety disorder stemming from an abusive upbringing. Subsequently, I developed agoraphobia and found it very difficult to travel far away from my home, which represented a safe haven for me. Work, church, the store, these were all okay, but flying to another state was out of the question. But about 6 years ago, I found I had to fly to Washington, D.C. for a training seminar for work. It was go or be fired. Well, as a coincidence, the church was praying for the community for 40 days. Some of you remember we had the Revival Power Light Company and we prayed for people in our community 40 days. She says, the first night of my trip, which I fearfully went on, happened to be the 40th day of prayers. Lying in my hotel room, praying for people I didn't know. It dawned on me that if God could answer my prayers for the community, which I wholeheartedly believed, then He could and would answer mine. I prayed for courage and peace. I prayed as hard as I've ever prayed. I can only describe what happened next as a miracle. It was peace beyond understanding. It was as if all my fears melted away, like God put a warm blanket on my shoulders. I've never taken anxiety medicine since. For I know that there's no fear that lies ahead of me greater than the awesome power of the Lord standing behind me. That's what this series is all about. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I don't think she's suggesting that everyone here throw all their medicine away. But I think in her case, and maybe in yours, a lot of our fears are not based in chemical problems. They're based in spiritual problems. And what she had to learn was that the God who loved her was everywhere. And she didn't have to be afraid to go anywhere. The Lord wants to do that for you. She said, it felt like God just put a warm blanket on me. You know what that is? That's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you experience spiritual withfulness. And here's the serendipity. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's going to pour out the love of God into your heart. When you become a more loving person, you have enhanced your capability to experience relational withfulness. But it begins by seeking God. It's not a sin to be lonely. But it may well be a sin to indulge it. We need to do some withful thinking. And so let me show you three things we can do that will help us bind our hearts to God and to others. First, we need to appreciate the fact that God understands. God has a heart to minister to those experiencing withlessness. It hurts God to see us alone. He says it's not good. And He feels for us. You say, no, He doesn't. God doesn't know what loneliness feels like. I would argue God understands relational and spiritual loneliness because He's felt it more intensely than anyone who's ever lived. Do you remember Jesus on the cross? Betrayed by every close friend. Deserted. And then do you remember the moment when He shouted, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He even experienced withlessness with God. Do you understand what our salvation cost God? I'm talking about things right now our feeble minds are too small to grasp. The Father who has known eternal fellowship sacrificed it. God experienced withlessness so that you would never have to. Yes, He knows and He cares. And so the Bible says in Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's not the whole answer, but that's part of it. It helps just to know that God understands. And then the second thing that will bind us to God and others is this. to alleviate the hurt in another in Jesus' name. Now, you're not going to like what I'm about to say. Some of you won't. But I need to say it anyway. If you are lonely today, it is possible that your loneliness is a manifestation of selfishness. The Bible says, notice how chapter 18 of Proverbs starts and finishes. It says, a recluse is self-indulgent. Another translation says, an unfriendly person is selfish. You're focused on your needs and your agenda and your wants. And why people aren't caring about you. A recluse is self-indulgent. But the chapter ends, a real friend sticks closer than a brother. I believe it is absolutely consistent with everything Jesus taught to tell you this morning. The best way to heal your hurt is to minister to somebody else's. You will find yourself when you lose it for somebody else. Corrie Ten Boom, when she was a young teenage girl, fell deeply in love with a boy who asked her to marry him. But later, he broke the engagement. And when he did, he broke her heart. Her father gave her some wise counsel. He said, Corrie, you can do two things with a blocked love. You can dam it up inside, or you can rechannel it. There's a sense in which loneliness is a choice, because there is a world of hurting people waiting to be loved by somebody. And so you need to appreciate the fact that God understands. You need to alleviate the hurt in another in Jesus' name. And in one more thing, the most important thing is to appropriate the promise of God with us. See, this is the message of Christmas. The message of this season is not God was with us. The message is God is with us. At Bethlehem, God revealed His within nature. Our God is a God who wants to be with. There's no other way to explain the message of Christmas. And it is the single greatest answer to fear. You can check me on this. If you will read the scripture from start to finish, more often than any other thing, when God speaks directly to fear, He says to the person afraid, I am with you. This is a promise you don't get in other world religions. Other gods don't promise this. They're distant gods that you're constantly having to impress or please, but not the God of the Bible. This God is a within God. And so you have the promise in Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Paul one time went to a very pagan city in Europe. He was by himself, and it was a difficult place. Acts 18, it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. Now you know that in your heads. But I'm asking this morning if you know it in your hearts. Because here's what happens. Every time we go through something really hard, and some of us are going through something really hard right now, the devil is always there to whisper, God is gone. God is gone. And you have to decide, not just in your head, but in your heart, if you're going to believe that. Now, here's what God says. Hebrews 13, God has said, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. And that is why we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. Do you know what's so evil about fear, folks? When we fear, we accuse God of desertion. Now, if God is a deserting kind of God, why did He ever go to the cross? When they spit Him and mocked Him and said, if you're really God, why don't you come down? Why didn't He do it? He wouldn't leave the cross to prove He would never leave us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. He's the God of the mountaintop. But He's the God that dwells in the valley too. And some of you today really need to believe that. This past week, a friend sent me a powerful illustration of the truth that God is wherever you need Him most. It was a story about Captain Cooper, who's a U.S. Army captain deployed since March of 2003 in Baghdad. And he came across a song we've learned this last year, In Christ Alone. And he wrote back to his home church in Johnston, Iowa, how much that song means to him, because his job every day is to get into a military vehicle and transport people from downtown Baghdad to the Baghdad International Airport and go through some of the most dangerous parts of the city to do it. And do you know what he does when he makes that trip? He remembers this song. And I want you to look at the words of it with me while I read to you what he wrote to his family and his church back in Iowa. The first verse claims Christ is to me a cornerstone. He's the reason for my hope, my peace, and in whom I receive the comfort to continue on even during the separation from my wife, my kids, and my home. Verse 2 moves immediately to Christ's burden for those who scorned Him. Boy, can I relate. We are losing soldiers here every day to people we're trying to help. This helps me to have compassion on the Iraqi people, to know that Christ purposely gave His life for us. Helps me to understand that He knows that soldiers are dying and that He's in control. And no matter how many times I hear this verse, I get chills up my spine. The picture of Christ standing in victory. The image of sin's grip being broken. And the promise that I am His. And knowing that He is in fact mine brings Him incredibly close to me. But I think you could probably guess that of all the verses, these are the words I'm singing as I drive down the highway with my M16 pointed out the window and my 9mm pistol tucked in my flak jacket pocket. I can tell you that I feel more secure in claiming the promise no power in hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand till He returns or calls me home than I do with that rifle and pistol. Now, loved ones, if that man can find God in a hellhole like that, I know you and I can too. Because He is the God that longs to be with us. He's the God who is everywhere. And that means your with need can be full anywhere. And that's good thinking. Let's bow our heads. Oh God, thank You. Thank You that You are the God who comes. Thank You that His name is Emmanuel. That Jesus is with us. Thank You that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Father, may this truth not only fill our heads, but may it fill our hearts. May we resist every lie of Satan to say that You are a God that abandons and deserts His kids. Minister today especially to the lonely. I pray that every hurting heart today will feel right now Your love coming down on them like a warm blanket. And they will know the words of Jesus. I am with you to the end of the age. Help us to claim it. Help us to believe it. Help us to feel it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of you will want to go to room 109 and meet with our church leaders and be with them. Let their hug and their presence and their words and their prayers minister to you. This is one reason why God gives us a church family. And some of you today want to come and confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to be baptized in Jesus' name. One of the promises in the Bible for people that unite with Christ is the Holy Spirit. God wants to give you the Spirit to always be with you so that you will always know the presence of God. So whatever your need, please come right now while we stand up and sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Mild He lays his glory by. For that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give him a second birth. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, veiled in carne the deity. Jesus, our Emmanuel, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Life and life to all He brings, rings with healing in his wings. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Come, desire.
Amen. Have a seat, please. Would you pass your attendance cards to the aisle? Our guests can turn in the purple card now or take it to the Welcome Center after we're dismissed. We'd love to give you a packet and a Bible. What a powerful prayer we just prayed. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. And we have two, Danny and Katie Beltran, who've prayed that prayer today. And you're about to witness them ask Jesus Christ to come and make his home in their heart. While we wait, let's sing one more time the beautiful song we started this service with, Jesus' name above all names.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God.
Church, this is Danny and Katie Beltran, and Danny and Katie own the Chick-fil-A franchise up here on the corner on Roof Snow, and it's because of that a couple, 3 years ago when the 24/7 building opened up that Chris and Carrie and Lindsay started for their snack bar getting Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and they began building a relationship with Danny and Katie. And this culminated eventually, and just within the last few months, Danny and Katie began attending here. We've had opportunity to study with them. But the bottom line is that our youth ministry staff love them right into the kingdom. And they're making the greatest decision of all today. Danny, I'm so thrilled that you are saying yes to the one who loves you most, who wants to fill you, use you, And I believe with all my heart that you're going to be a difference maker for him. You're going to be someone who's going to absolutely impact others' lives because of your love for Jesus and your desire to put him first in your life. I want to ask you this question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son?
Yes, I do.
And do you want him to be the king of your life from this day forward?
Oh, yes.
God bless you, bud. I want you to know there's nothing greater than that. Because you love Jesus, because you want to be His man, you're now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins, and you so you might receive the gift of God's Spirit. On your nose, take your breath. Katie says, I'm already crying. She said this week, she says, have you noticed every time I'm with you, I cry? I said, yeah, I think you must be allergic to me. I'm not sure. Katie, I'm so thankful for your choice to follow Jesus. Katie, and I just want to say this, Katie is not unlike many who are sitting in this audience today. When she was just a young girl involved in a denominational background, she had a terrible experience that up until this point of time has caused her from embracing Jesus Christ. And she's an example of one who said that the love that she has for Jesus is more powerful than anything that man could do to her. And I want to know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing for you right now. And so I want to ask you this same question, hon, and this question we talked about the other day. Do you believe with all of your heart, the trust issue, that Jesus Christ is God's Son?
I do.
And do you want Him to be the King of your life from this day forward?
I do.
Good. Because of that, you're now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin. And so you might receive the gift of God's Spirit. Hold your nose, take a breath. Here we go.
I gotta just say for a second, that just warmed my heart, because I think my family, I think we tithe to Chick-fil-A. I have given that guy so much money, and now he's gonna start giving me some. I love this. Well, it's been a good day. This Wednesday night at the Summit, we're going to have a special devotional focusing on the Christmas season you will not want to miss. The following week, there will not be a Summit, but there will be our annual Candlelight Christmas Eve service on Friday night at 6 o'clock. It's a special event, and you need to make that a part of your Christmas tradition if you're in town on Christmas Eve. And then, of course, tonight is the final night of the Christmas musical. I leave every year. I got to come last night. Every year I leave and think, how can this many talented people be in one place? Not just that they're talented, but that they're willing to share their talents and make sacrifices to do so. So if you haven't seen the show yet, you need to come tonight. Get here early so you'll get a good seat, because we've had two great crowds. I expect we'll have another tonight. Let's all stand now. I want us to sing a song we sang earlier. Because now that we understand how God loves to with His children, maybe the words, Lord, reign in me, will mean even more. This will be our closing prayer. Let's sing this together.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me. Again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again?
Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again? Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again?
Amen. You are dismissed.